No, because the Gemara, the Midrash says that why is Torah compared to fire, and that's why people light the fires on Lag BaOmer, is because that only, just like a fire is not mekayim on one stick. You can't have a big bonfire with one stick, and you can't start a fire without a match with one stick. You have to rub two sticks together. So it says so too the Gemara, so too with Torah. Torah is only mekayim with Klal Yisrael. Hashem gave the Torah to many people altogether. Torah wasn't given to one person sitting on a mountain alone all by himself. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was going to give it to Klal Yisrael. The Torah was only given when it was given to Klal Yisrael. It was first given to everybody altogether. So that's the idea we learn from fire. That's the goal of Torah, is to be all together. If we can't be in person, at least on Zoom, Hashem, hopefully we'll be able to be back together in regularly. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about any other questions like Omer related? Or otherwise, well, now we're going to do some things about Refuah. As you may have realized, this topic is almost unending. There's so many examples, so many cases, so many different aspects of the rules of medicine on Shabbat, but we're going to try to cover some important cases, and then we can ask questions, we can add, and it's really upon not just doctors, upon everybody to, if these cases come up, to figure out what to do. Sometimes if there's no time because it's a question of pikuach nefesh, so do and act and then ask, and you'll figure it out later. So here's the Shulchan Aruch that we talked about one time, but I want to add a little bit more. And the question to think about is like this. A girl, or it could be a boy, gets a terrible gash in their arm, in their face, let's say, make it even worse. They get into a terrible, they were walking down the street, and all of a sudden, on a car, a drunk driver, or whatever, a car doesn't see them, hits them, and they fall to the concrete, okay? And they get a terrible gash on their face. They go to the hospital, and the hospital sees, let's say it's a Jewish hospital there in Shaare Tzedek in Israel, or whatever, in America, and there's a Jewish doctor, and they see that the person just needs stitches, right? The girl needs stitches. She's going to live. The other parts of her body are working, but she needs stitches. So first of all, generally, we have to talk about, could you do stitches on Shabbat? Okay, the answer to that is going to be, we'll see very soon, that that's makah shechalah. We're worried about infection, that you can deal with stitches if you need to. Okay, there's a machloket poskim. Are the stitches considered tofer, connecting to, are they like sewing a garment? Sewing a garment on Shabbat is tofer, connecting to separate items, or is it not tofer exactly min haTorah? Okay, but either way, for a real serious infection, they could do it. Questions like this. If you ask a surgeon who could do stitches, sometimes a big gash, they could do with, an inch gash, I don't know exactly, maybe 4 or 5 stitches, whatever it is. You could do a few stitches and it'll take care of the whole thing. It won't look so nice, but it'll cover the person won't be in danger. If they do a few stitches, they'll heal. But if you ask them on a regular weekday, how many would they do? Normally they'll do a bunch more. Why? To look nicer. It'll look nice and neatly closed up, especially on someone's face. They want to look nicely closed up. And if they ask a plastic surgeon, especially on someone's face, then they ask a plastic surgeon. So they'll make it, they'll do many stitches, and they'll do them very, very closely together and very nicely done. So this way it looks nice. So could you do that extra stitching on Shabbat? The person's going to be able to live either way, but could you do the extra? Yes. What do you say? Anybody want to say on this? Okay. I hear. They any anybody else? Any additions?
I think that it won't be allowed, but in the economy it will be allowed, but it's better to wait till after Shabbat if you can.
Okay, so if they could wait till after Shabbat, it's very close to the end of Shabbat, and the doctors say it does not need to happen immediately, so fine, they could wait. That's fine. But sometimes it's not possible. The doctors, it's ready, it was Friday night or it was Shabbat morning, and the doctors don't want to wait. So then they're not going to, there's no, we shouldn't wait just for this necessarily. And they can't put stitches in, take them out, and put in new stitches. That's not highly, I think no doctor's going to really want it. No doctor's going to do that. So the one about getting married, what?
It's not possible to add the stitches in later. Like once it's
No.
done it,
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
medically you can't.
You can't do that. So what are we going to say? So, about getting married, just to say something which I know it was not what was brought up, but I'll just bring it up anyway. There it says, Arba Chashuvim Kimei. There are 4 people that are considered like they're not living. Who are they? The Metzora, I don't know, maybe they'll help me out. The Ani, the poor person. The Suma, the blind person. The blind person. And the Akara, yeah? You want to say? The Lehami. Yeah, the person who can't have children. So these are unfortunate, very sad situations. People say the reason is, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says the reason is because they can't give. Being one of someone who's similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone is able to give to somebody else, giving loving to somebody else, caring for somebody, having somebody that you could build something with, is an aspect of what Chaim is all about. That Hashem gave us, it says, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. We thank Hashem in the first Baruch Shmuel Esrei. Hashem, you made creatures that give good. Right? Gomel Chasadim. Hashem is Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Hashem, sorry, I should say better. Hashem does chasadim tovim. Hashem does great chasad. So everybody asks, or Schwab says, why does it have to say Hashem gives good chasad? If Hashem gives mercy, Hashem gives chasad, every chasad is good. It's an extra word. It should say, gomel chasadim. What's gomel chasadim tovim? It's a waste of a word. Why do we need to say every time we say that? So Schwab says, no. What Hashem means is this. Because Hashem created people, and people could give. That's the essence of a person that's able to be alive, is able to give to other people. So the Summa, the blind person, usually is taking. The person who's poor can't give. He can't give. He can always take. The person who's akara, the lady, also is usually, it feels like she can't give to a child. Also, we had the ani, the akara, the mitzora. Okay, he's kicked out of the camp. He's quarantined. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be pulled to us from our quarantine. Should redeem everybody in their gula and everyone to mechayeh the meitim. The Rambam writes about that in Purim. It's like that. Hashem is mechayeh meitim. Anyway, the idea here is, when it comes to Chilul Shabbat, the post can talk about if someone's going to be blind, if someone gets a terrible eye disease in the middle of Shabbat, and do they have to treat the eye condition right on Shabbat? Otherwise, there's a concern they're going to get blind, become blind. Are you allowed to mechallel Shabbat v'isur d'oraita in order to help their eye? Okay. Okay, so let me find it. I should be able to find it here. Both eyes or just one eye? I'm not sure it matters, but let's say it's both eyes. That's a good question, though. Good. I'll find it. Yes. So here, I'm now going to. Share my screen. Well, I'm not going to share the screen. I don't know where it's connected to Sif Yud Aleph. I'll just say it from what it says in the Tiferet, like this. So it says in the Gemara of Odazar, we talked about this last week, yeah, that Shuryaki de Ene Belibatayu, whatever it is, the veins of the eyes are connected to the heart. I don't know exactly what that means. So if a person gets an eye ailment on Shabbat, you can mechal Shabbat because he could die if he gets an infection in his eye or whatever. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan one time his eye was hurting. This is just a amazing story, even though this is off topic, but it's connected to what we're talking about. It says once he had an eye ailment, his eye was hurting. So he went to a woman doctor who made medicine, and asked her, "What do I do to put on my eye?" So on Thursday she made some concoction. And he put it on his eye, made some eye drops, and put it on his eye. On Friday, same thing. She put it on her eye. And sorry, he asked her again. On Friday, it was still hurting, and he put this ailment on his eye. He said on Friday to the doctor, "Can you tell me the ingredients that go into your medicine? So this way on Shabbat, I'll know, and be able to, in case my eye is hurting, I'll make it on Shabbat, and then I'll put it on my eye." So that's what the Gemara says, wait a minute, how is he allowed to make a medicine on Shabbat? That's Chilul Shabbat. The Gemara says, this is what the Gemara says over there in Gemara, I think it's Chavtan in Avodah Zarah, and Alf, it says about that's where they're allowed to do Pikol Nefesh for the eyes. Because we're afraid if the person's eye gets infected, it gets a bacterial thing, whatever, he might die. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, he asked her for the recipe, for the medicine, and she said, "I'm not going to tell anybody, I can't give anybody the information, because if I give away the information, then no one's going to come to my pharmacy anymore. No one's going to come to me, I'm going to lose business." So he said, "Okay, I promise that I'm not going to tell." And he took the recipe, And it comes Shabbat. I don't know. He doesn't need it. Whatever. Next week, he goes up in the Beit Midrash and he makes an announcement. I have a clap on the Beit Midrash. He says, by the way, anybody gets an eye ailment, this is the ingredients you need to make the potion to put on to make eye drops. So she got furious. The Gemara has one version, two versions of the story. One version is she got furious. One version is she committed suicide. She was upset with him that he's ruining her business. So the Gemara asks, how did Rabbi Yochanan do that? He just cheated and swindled her. Says the Gemara, you're not supposed to keep, now this is a very highly debated topic, you're not supposed to keep, she was doing wrong by keeping secrets in medicine. What she was doing was preventing people from becoming healthy. She was keeping all the secrets to herself. So if someone, she was doing wrong by keeping the secrets to herself, so Rabbi Yochanan was just helping expose those important pieces of information. It's highly debated because in our day and age that does not happen.
Okay, so my question would be, like, if the surgeon normally would do 10 stitches, so yes, it would look perfect little neat ones, but if he did 4 and it had gaps and marks, and then 2 years later a person would say that I went to, you know, that doctor, and he would lose business because people would say if that's how he does bad surgery, bad stitches.
Okay, so I hear the question.
Shouldn't he have to be doing a perfect job?
Okay, so I'm going to get up to that. Fine, let's fine. Thank you, that's a good point. So anyway, bottom line, that story just brings up the question of if someone's actually in danger of their life, could they do, I think, like John Q is a movie, a guy, could you steal or keep people hostage, whatever, to get medicine? Could you do stealing in order to save yourself? Okay, Gemara Bava Kama, but bottom line, not Pashut in Yanim. Yes, as
a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah. If you're a pharmaceutical company, everybody has copyrights today. So how does that deal with the Gemara? So the answer is, basically, you have to make it available to everybody if they pay a fair amount. If the guy can't afford it, so then probably if they're going to die, then you have a chiyuv to help them, even if you're a pharmaceutical company. If you're a doctor and somebody says, please help me, I'm dying, so you have a chiyuv to help them. That's where I think halacha would differ with the modern society. Now, I don't think, though, we would follow that gemara, la halacha, to say anytime someone who works in a pharmaceutical company should lose his job by revealing those secrets. I don't think like that. I do think, though, a step less than that is if a person has a medicine and someone needs it and it's going to save their life, and they're just saying, and you're holding out because of money, so I think we have a chiyuv to give it to them and not hold out because of money. But okay, the bigger question of lying and cheating and stealing.
Right, if one company is exposing itself, then they don't get funding to get more research and more treatments. The whole system is based off the fact that they're making tons of money from their drugs.
I don't know. This is capitalist society. I don't know if the halacha, if there was a Torah society that was built off based on Torah values, I'm not sure that we would have pharmaceutical companies the same way. Okay. Another day though. Anyway, okay, back to the cosmetic surgeries. It goes like this. I'm sharing my screen. Here's the Shulchan Aruch. We read a part of it, and this time we're going to focus on a different one. It says, Makash HaChalal, if there's an internal wound, for now we're going to assume any internal wound is already Safek Pukuch Nefesh. That's what it says in the Gemara. Any internal wound. Inzrach Omed, you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to investigate it. I feel like Inzrach Bekim V'Cholim V'Cholet. Even if there's nobody who's expert in this area, and the Chol Omer Klum, Inzrach Omer Klum, even the patient himself says, I don't need anything, or he doesn't say anything. Still, if it would be a type of thing that during the week we would save him, we certainly do it on Shabbat. Aval, kishiodim. We said, if we know that he is not sakana, if we know that this is not going to cause a problem, then asur l'chalal. Fine. So the question is, the words that I did not bold, and this time I'm going to highlight, it's kol regilim lasol b'chol. You could do anything you would normally do during the week. So the Mishnah Berurah says on that, what does it sound like? It says if he's sick, you could. If you were worried about him, you could do anything you want. Aval b'she imba sakanam v'niyan hadavar. You could do anything for the guy. As long as the guy was sick, you could do all the melachot. So in other words, Or Litzion says, a guy who's sick in the hospital because of something that was serious. He needed a surgery or ER for whatever. He came into the ER for some one reason or the other. And he asked for tea. You can make him hot tea on Shabbat. Non-klisheni, not klishlishi. Kli rishon, on the fire. Take a stove, whatever. Now, do you need to do that if you have an urn going? So do that anyway, fine. But the halakha would be mikara din. This is mutar to do any sorchei hachole sheish bo sakana. All the things, even though the tea is not going to make him better, the tea is just nice for him. He'll survive without the tea. Still, you're allowed to do the tea. Okay, we'll discuss this more. However, the Or Litzion does say though. What if he says, "Can you turn on the TV? I like to watch. I want to watch comics. I want to watch." So he says, "No." Or Litzion's getter is it has to be that it's bedera. It's making his chulsha, making some of his weaknesses go away. It's making him feel a little better. I don't know about the TV. If he says, "Give me chocolate," if he asks for food or whatever, for the air conditioning, heat, anything like that, the lights on, light off, you can do that. Because for the chola, you can do anything he wants. If it's something that it doesn't help him one way or the other, it's not making him feel any better, then you can't do that for him. I don't know if the TV is a good example. I don't like the TV in and of itself, so that for me is not a good example. But maybe, in theory. If it's like for him, turning on the lights, so then maybe for him it's a hana. Okay, make his chol go away. He's not depressed. Okay, either way. Yes.
What happens if the chol is in the hospital for a while? It's not like in the ghetto of Sakana that we have to run to the hospital. He's already in the hospital for a while. He could die whenever. Are we allowed to like turn on the AC for him?
So you have to.
100% safe.
So every case is really, you check with the doctors. The lesson of this whole shiur is any questions we have, you check with the doctor. If the doctor says that the person might die soon, and doing something for him might keep him alive, so then you're allowed to help him mechal Shabbat. But if he's like on hospice or a DNR or a type of thing where the doctors gave up hope. They said, look, the derech teva, according to nature, he's not going to survive. We're not going to do a chalal Shabbat for him, where the doctors aren't doing anything. We'll be mechalal Shabbat to do surgery, to give him medicine, whatever we could. But if the doctors say, we're not doing anything to help him, so then turning on the AC, you're turning off the AC, the pain medication, is not really going to make, if it's not making him any better or worse, so then we cannot use the rules of Pikuach Nefesh. We might use other rules, chalal she'en bo sakana, we'll use other rules, but we can't use. But if that's because the person's, we're not trying to save his life. If you're trying to save his life, once you try to save his life, then you can do as much as you need. That's what we're saying over here. That's the Shulchan Aruch. If you're doing something to save the guy's life, if you need to do a surgery or anything to save his life, you can also do extra melachot. But not if you're not doing anything. If you're not doing anything to save him, you can't do. If the person's not b'sakana, so if the doctors think b'sakana, then you do the melachot. If not, not. So anyway, about this girl, it's in the Tiferet. It quotes from Chacham Avadia that he says for a girl and even for a boy, if he feels that it would be not kavod habriot to have the stitches not done in a nice way, they can have it done in a very nice way. Because since they have to mechalal Shabbat anyway to do the stitches, they can also mechalal Shabbat to do extra stitches. Now that's for Sfaradim. What about Ashkenazim? So the Bir Halacha over here, he's not so excited about this. He argues. He says, this is the Ramban. He says, I have a question on this. I'm not sure. It seems harbe poskim chokim. Many argue with this. So it comes out that he's not excited. Now back to the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Emechalin aydisar." You cannot do that unless what you're doing is going to actually help him live. If you're going to help him, if what you're doing is not helping him live, you cannot do that. The Mishnah Berurah is more strict on this, and he says if it's not barur, it's not clear that's going to help him. And sorry, if it's clear that it's not helping him, then you cannot do it. Okay, but he would allow, if he says in the Shartzion here, that you could do it Ida non-Jew, you could do it with a non-Jew, that would be okay also, and it's Sor Harbe. You could do it if it's very necessary. Okay, so in other words, if the guy is sweating and he needs the AC on, okay, so we would do that also. Okay, those sort of things we would do. However, if it's less than that, we wouldn't do that. That's Ashkenazim. So there's a big difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim about this. About the cosmetic surgeries with Ashkenazim, they try very hard to give different kulot. It's basically, Shmir Shabbat has a safek about that case with the cosmetic surgery with the girl, because according to the Shabbat, it seems to be a problem. But he brings Shlomo Zalman has safek. What do you say about stitches? Are stitches tofer min haTorah, or no, it's not normal to stitch up a person? The stitches are not going to last forever, especially the dissolvable stitches. So maybe it's not tofer shakayama. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's not derech tefirah be'adam. Okay, maybe there's no such thing as, like, for example, the Gemara, we say there's no bone be'adam. The Gemara has, if a woman or anybody braids their hair on Shabbat, Rabbi Lezer says it's bone. It's creating. They're creating a nice toy, a structure, whatever, creating a braid in the hair. So Chacham said, we don't hold that. That knotting hair could be maybe knots or other things, whatever, bone mid rabbanan, but it's not min bone mid atra, because no binyan ba'adam. Okay. Anyway, so Shlomo Zalman has a fake about that. Big question by Ashkenazim. Some yes, some no. Anyway, if you can get a non-Jew, so in America we can get a non-Jew. So again, in America, the best way is so we get a non-Jew. In Israel, by the Ashkenazim, they'll try to do is have a non-Jew or get a Sephardi to do it. Fine. Now, getting back to what my mother brought up, or what I was getting a sidetrack with the blind person, was like this. You could save someone's life for the blind person, because it says over there. But now, Tiferet says that the doctors today say that we don't know what this Gemara is talking about. If a person has an eye ailment, their eye is itching, we don't bring them to the ER and do surgery immediately. We don't think the guy's going to die. We assume that the eyes are not any more important than the ears or nose or mouth or whatever, and they're not going to die just because they got an infection in their eye. So the doctors don't think that that's the case. So what do we say? So some poskim say we cannot follow that ruling anymore. I think that's Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter says that, look, if the doctors say that it's dangerous, then fine, but you follow the doctors of today, you don't follow the doctors of the Rabbi Yochanan's day. Rabbi Yochanan's doctors were wrong, or they're a different change, the medicine's changed over 2,000 years. However, Chamavadi said, if the Gemara said it was Sakana, so we're worried about Sakana. So the doctors of the Gemara might still be right, so we're going to leave it as such. So yeah, we would be leaning on that, but we'd probably do our best to try to figure out if the doctors actually think it's somewhat concerning or not. Okay, but in terms of a Summa, so even though we said four people are like they're dead, Rav Schechter likes to quote this, the daughter of Rav Soloveitchik, or with Tara Soloveitchik, I think the Rav Tversky's wife, so Rebbetzin Tversky, she once was speaking in Mizrahi, and she said, people quoted my father, the Rav, as saying that it's okay to Mechalel Shabbat, you're not poor. It's because ani chashuv kameh. So she said, that's a mistake. My father never said that. When the Gemara says ani chashuv kameh, or sumas chashuv kameh, it's a parable. It's an analogy. It's just a nice saying. It doesn't mean that someone who is blind is like they're dead. Not at all. Someone who's blind, someone who's akara, someone who is poor, someone who's a mitzora in quarantine, they're absolutely alive for every purpose and aspect of life. They can enjoy life. They can be involved in life. They can't give on a regular level, so they'll give in other ways. There's no question you were not mechalel Shabbat for that. Okay? Now, the Summa, going back to other things, if a person's worried about losing their hearing, becoming deaf, chas v'shalom, or worried about becoming blind, so or something else, so we would treat that as sakanat aver. Sakanat aver, we said before, is the third category. It's not someone who's just irritated, not a cholash aim sakana, but not pekulch nefesh either. It's not the fourth category. It's sakana aver. For sakana aver, we would allow dura banat, we would allow that non-Jew to do duraita, we would allow a Jew to do, a Jew to do it without shinoi. A Jew could do malachot dura banan without a shinoi, or duraita with a shinoi. So basically, you cannot mechalel Shabbat. You cannot drive to the hospital so someone shouldn't lose their hearing, or they shouldn't lose their functioning in a finger, a small, we said, a breaking of a bone other than the, you know, the big bones. So things like that, they would not drive to the hospital. They get a non-Jew to do it. There is an opinion, just to mention, there is one opinion, so it should be noted, there's the Sri De'ish, Rabbi Yechiel Weinberg, very chashuv posek, he felt that we would follow the one opinion of the Meiri, who says, just like the Gemara says for the eyes, that it could lead to pekuch nefesh, so too for any limb in the entire body, that you're allowed to mechalel Shabbat. If you're worried about any limb in the entire body, that the person is going to become blind, a finger is going to be lost, any limb in the entire body, you're allowed to mechalel Shabbat. So he's lenient on that. However, Chaim Avadia and everybody else, they say, we don't follow that opinion. It's not the main opinion. we would say for Sagana Abram was said in Shulchan Aruch that we would do Durabanan, we would get non-Jew, or a person with a Jew could do it with a Shinui Duraita or do an every other Durabanan. That's what we would say to do for the Sagana Abram. However, in practice, most of the cases don't generally come up as Sakana Aver. Most of the cases are usually unclear if they're actually Sakana Aver or they're Sakana Nefasho. If it's even a Safek, even a possibility that they might lose their life, then you have to be more strict and you have to be more strict on Pekuach Nefesh and Mechalal Shabbat. Okay? Any questions before we'll do more topics? Yeah. So, Rabbi Amar, yeah, so yes, that is only Darabanan. Electric cars is Darabanan. I don't mean a hybrid. A hybrid car, maybe they're electric, they're a fit, that's great, but they're not just electric. But not a hybrid, but a total electric car is a great thing for a doctor to get, because if they're going to drive to the hospital for what they need to drive, it's only Darabanan. Yes, it costs money. But that is the Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Shlomo Amar, from who was the chief rabbi in Israel, sorry, chief rabbi, before this, before Rabbi Yitzchak. So he spoke in YU a few years ago, and he said that. He said he advised doctors to get electric cars, because it's only Darabanan. It helps out with a very important question about driving home from the hospital, which is a very serious question. But for your question, Sakana Aver, yes, you can use the Darabanan of electric car to drive to the hospital. Yes, that would be helpful. But most cars today are still gas, so most cars that would not help. You guess Sinanju? Yes, Ev.
It would be good for people who drive to shul if they have electric cars also.
Yes, except I wouldn't recommend, but as long as it's still asur a little bit, we can't vouch for anything that's asur, so we can't tell people, use it. What?
You don't encourage it. Let's say someone goes around and their scooter. So their son bought them one from Somet that was only the Rabbanan, so that his father wouldn't violate the Deoraita.
No, yeah, the Somet ones could be mutar, but because they use grama. But either way, even if they're using something Derabanan, yeah, there's no question. Electricity is better than using gas fuel. There's no question. But it's not really up to a particular... A rabbi can't be posek. He can't... It's not up to him to rule on something that... To do one thing that's less serious in order to save someone else from a bigger sin. But yes, if the person comes and says, oh, I'm doing this, so that would be better. They say, Rav Yitzchak Yosef says the story, the chief rabbi, Chaim Yitzchak, says about his father. Somebody said that his father said it was allowed to ask a non-Jew to drive a person to shul on Shabbat. You can ask a non-Jew to drive you to the shul on Shabbat. So he said, my father did not say that. Now, it really, in theory, there's what to talk about. Can you get a non-Jew to drive you to shul on Shabbat and get a chauffeur to drive you? Why? Because it'll be shvut. B'makom mitzvah. Now, shvut b'makom mitzvah, if it's not an electric car, if it's a regular car, so that's a shvut, it's amir l'nachri. So how is that allowed? So you have to talk about it, if it's a psik resha and everything else. Okay, pashtut is, it's a problem. Either way, Chaim Yitzchak said, no, my father never said that. He said he investigated. He said, what happened? He said, he told a businessman, there was a businessman who came to Chaim Avadi, donated a lot of money. And he said he wanted a bracha for him and for his chauffeur, his non-Jewish driver that drove him around everywhere. So Chaim Avadia gave him a bracha, and so he said hello to the driver. And the driver said, you should know that my boss is so nice, he gives me off on Saturdays, and he drives, I don't have to drive on Saturdays. This person was not religious, just to clarify. The person was not religious. So Chaim Avadia said to the person, he said, you know, why don't you switch? Give him off on Sunday. He's not Jewish anyway. He's Christian. Christians like being off. Why are you doing him a favor giving him off on Saturday? Give him off Sunday. And he'll drive you on Saturday. He'll drive you. You don't drive during the week anyway. Why do you drive only on Shabbat? So Chaim Avadia convinced him to drive on Saturday, to drive the non-Jew on, drive on Saturday, and he'll drive himself on Sunday. So that's what he did. But Chaim Yitzchak said, my father was only saying this is better to have a non-Jew drive you to shul on Shabbat than drive yourself to shul on Shabbat. He was not saying that it's mutar to ask a non-Jew to drive you on Shabbat if you're listening. But the point is, the reason I wanted to bring up this is because it's not up to us. It's not up to someone to say, oh, I'm going to tell people how to get around. But the Chacham Avadi was only telling him advice, you know, if you're going to not do anything better than this and that. So I think, yes.
I heard a story from Chacham David Yosef where he was speaking at the shul. I think Chacham Avadi was matir himself when it was Ben Hashem Ashot on Motzei Shabbat that he would go a little bit early in order to give the shiur to the tzibur.
The way I heard it was after 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. So that he holds, Ikar Adin is 13 and a half minutes after sundown, you could ready get in the car. Yeah, that's what I heard. So that I think...
Without a mitzvah, or it's only
because you... No, he would only do it for a mitzvah. But yes, in theory, other reasons also. All right, I want to get into a few things. One of them was other topics. One of those vaccines. Now, vaccines are generally always, to take them is always very important. A few hundred years, not even so long ago, in the days of the Tiferet Yisrael, just a very short version of the topic, just to say the main point that I want to get to is like this. The Tiferet Yisrael, there was a debate in the end of the 1800s when they were starting to develop, I don't know all this history of it at all, vaccines for different things, for smallpox, I don't even know if that was 1800s, but certain things, they came out with vaccines. 1900s, a lot many more. And so the Tiferet Yisrael wrote about this. Some people said you shouldn't take vaccines because if you take a vaccine, it could be that you're going to catch something and it'll make you sick. And why should I get involved in making me sick right now if if it's not going to do anything? And the Tiferet Yisrael said, no, it's better that everybody does the vaccine. And even if that means 1 in 10,000 people that take the vaccine is actually going to become sick because of it. Because this way, if you don't take the vaccine, it could lead to everybody getting sick. Many, many people getting sick. So better to prevent everybody. So that was the opinion of Tiferet Yisrael. And that was basically many... And you can't say as a general for anything ever, but that's the general accepted opinion by all the poskim today when they talk about vaccines. And like vaccines in the history, there have been the polio vaccine years ago. The first round of it, unfortunately, had mistakes. There were people that took the vaccine and caught it because of the. That's sad, but still the halakha is that vaccines are not only mutar take, a mitzvah to take, because they prevent spreading disease to other people. Now, what if someone says, I didn't take the flu shot this year, and he remembers it's Saturday, and he's talking on the Shabbat, he's talking and eating cholent, he's talking with his friend at the Shabbat lunch, and he says, I didn't take the flu vaccine this year. And the guy says, you know, 20,000 people die every year in America for not taking the flu vaccine. Go take the flu vaccine. Is he allowed to drive to the urgent care and get a flu vaccine on Shabbat? Or you could do it with smallpox. Unfortunately, earlier this year, people didn't take vaccines, and it was very, very sad. In New York, New Jersey, in Muncie area, everywhere, there was very sad. People not taking vaccines, and it caused avoidable death. So is that allowed on Shabbat to take vaccines? Not just take vaccines, to go drive to take a vaccine? It's called
Nefesh. There's enough herd immunity that it's not going to kill anybody.
Okay, but what if... But somebody could die from flu. It's possible.
Yeah, people do die every year.
Yeah, but it's not direct enough. It takes a while to build immunity, the vaccine to work. It's not really.
What about the small?
And they said, take it, and the only day available was Saturday in New Jersey. You have to take it because that's important. And that is told people quickly.
So if it's a disease that someone could die from, so I would say taking a vaccine of it could also be at the level of Golden Age. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach years ago was talking about a smallpox vaccine, and he said like this: if it's a pikuach nefesh situation, but nobody's concerned to treat it like pikuach nefesh because they deal with it other days during the week, so it became a chalal Shabbat. It's a very important ruling, but his point is like this: if it's like the people rushing to the ER, then you deal with it on Shabbat, like any day of the week. You rush to the ER on Shabbat just like during the week. But for vaccines, people don't rush to the hospital immediately; they deal with it when they have time. They schedule an appointment, they deal with it, they get the shot. So since that's the case, people don't treat it like a pikuach nefesh thing. He says, you're not allowed to violate Shabbat for it. If it would be, a person would be scared, he needed to take it, and the only day they're offering was Shabbat, then he would allow it. Because even a safeka, a very small chance of catching something that's dangerous, is mutar from Shabbat. Okay, next topic. Any other questions on the vaccine topic before we're going on to, kids on Shabbat? Yeah.
I could ask later. It's about, basically, I could ask you now, what about the car? If you go on the car, can you take the car afterwards instead of you're not allowed to do an extra malfunction?
Taking the, what are you about the car again? Taking it back? Okay, so like this. There's a very important distinction to be made. Like this. The doctor who needs to go to the hospital for an emergency. Somebody calls Hatzalah or the doctor and says, emergency, I have to come to the hospital. So we allow him not only to go to the hospital, we allow him to drive back home. Driving back home, let me say it better. Driving back home is Rav Moshe versus Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Avadia is machmir on that, but that's a big discussion, driving back home. Fine. But that's because hetir sofa mishum tchilatam. That's okay. We want to be more lenient. Maybe on Duraita, corner of Moshe, corner of Shlomo Zalman, only on Durabanan to drive back home. However, we want to help them to get back home. And with parking the car and the same sort of thing, if they need to get into the hospital, of course they should park the car. However, if it's they can have a non-Jew park the car, or it's anything besides that, or they're parking in any way, they can park in a closer spot, that's even if it's an illegal spot, they'll tow the car. So you have to do that, okay? That's enough. For a doctor going to the hospital, he needs his car to go back home. So he should have his car. He's not going to drive and leave his car get stolen. He's not going to go back to the hospital next time. So therefore, he they let him park his car a little bit more normally. However, when it comes to a person driving for themselves or for his family, so then those cool leniencies of Rav Moshe or anybody else by Hetir Sofam to allow a person to go back home or anything to do with that don't apply. Because a person, the leniency is with the doctor is like this, that if we said the doctor was not allowed to do anything after, we would restrict him from doing any Durabanan to try to get back home, to take the cab back home or to drive himself back home according to Rav Moshe. So you say, forget it, next time they call me emergency, I'm not going. So then it's going to cause pikuach nefesh next time. So they had to be more lenient. However, when a person is driving themselves to the hospital, or driving his wife or his kids or somebody he knows, his parents, to the hospital, so next time, if they tell him this time, you can't drive back home. So two bits. So next time he needs to take his wife to the hospital, he's not going to go? Of course he's going to go. So anything you're doing for yourself or your wife or your kids or your family, that rule does not apply. So therefore, you can also, in terms of parking the car, so you cannot park the car as normally as you would. When you get to the hospital, you let the person out, and then you ask the non-Jew to try to park the car. In terms of turning it off, if you can use a shinui, you can turn off the car with a shinui. Best thing is if you're trying to get a non-Jew to park the car. If you have to do a shinui, so do a shinui to turn off the car. You have to press the brakes, because if you don't press the brakes, the car's going to keep going. That'll cause itself to kol nefesh. Some people, Rabbi Neuberger says in America, maybe in New York, if you can't get a non-Jew to close your car or turn it off, it'll be also to kol nefesh because you're afraid that somebody crazy is going to take your car and drive it in the middle of the street and kill people because they're driving drunk or whatever. So fine. So then if you can't get any other option, so I think that's reasonable also. You can park the car yourself and take out the keys. When you close the door, you also have to realize the car is muksa. So you have to not close the door with your elbow or with your back or something. Don't close the door directly, because the car is at least klisha mato leisur. So we try to minimize these things when you're doing the hospital. If it's going to be chilul Shabbat, if it's going to be any time delay, though, and this time is critical, so then do everything absolutely normally as quick as possible. Stop the car normally, put the car in brakes, take out the keys normally, no shinui, if it's going to take extra time. Close the door with your hand normally if it's going to take extra time, so you can, in order not to get the non-Jew and everything like that. If it's not taking extra time, so you have to deal with those things, and money can't be on my mind. It's also brought up over here, for example, a woman going to the doctor, you can't go to your doctor necessarily if they live so far away. So says, but if it's your doctor, they know you better, so then you're allowed to go to them because they may be able to treat you better. So you can drive to your doctor, but if you're going to a doctor that's in network for your insurance, versus going to a different hospital that's out of network because you're out of town right now and you're living, so you're driving extra far on Shabbat, so you cannot drive extra far on Shabbat just because it's better for your insurance. So all those rules do apply. And we try to minimize. We try not to get involved as much. Does that help answer a little bit? Okay, so with the kids like this, it goes very basically that we treat the child, any child, like a chol she'im basakana. So if the child, so it's a machloket, up to what age? Or Litzion says up to 13 years old, Chacham Avadia says up to 9 years old. So it means you can help, you can give the kid medicine at any point. If they need any medicine, Tylenol, whatever, you give them the medicine if they're little kids. Not only that, we can do Durabanans for them, so making their bottle, if they need a bottle, if they're crying for any reason, you can do the Durabanans to help them. Now, it doesn't mean if they're crying because their toy broke, so you can't press the button on Shabbat to make electricity and make their toys work on Shabbat. That is not an exception of Chol HaShem HaZakana. We treat children as a Chol HaShem HaZakana. What is an exception, though, is Chaim Avadya says to make the bottle for them. So if you need to do Irui Kli Rishon to cook the bottle to make the milk hot, okay, so we'll be more lenient on that. Fine. Anyway, what would be a better example would be if it's too hot or too cold, whatever, so if you turn on the AC for the baby or turn off the light for the baby to sleep, stuff like that. We treat heating up water. You can't turn on the hot water. That might be Bishul D'Oraita. You can ask the non-Jew to heat up, or you could bathe the baby in hot water on Shabbat if the baby is crying, whatever it is like that. So there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim in this, because Ashkenazim are more strict that when it comes to children, they only allow if it's Tzorach Harbeh, and for Sfardim they allow even if it's not Tzorach Harbeh, but it has to be some need altogether. Because the Gemara says for a kid, the example I brought with the toy is like this, because then I'll finish with this. The Gemara says that if a child is holding a rock, it's Mukseh, you're not allowed to pick up your child, because you're picking up Mukseh indirectly by picking up the child. But if the child is crying incessantly, crying, you can't stop them. And if you try to get them to throw away the rock, they're not going to listen. They won't listen, and they're going to continue to cry. So you can pick them up, even though it means violating Mukseh. So this way, they're not crying so much. So that's the rule. And Chaim Avadya brings the same thing with helping them go to the bathroom, whatever. You can give them medicines if they have a diarrhea or they have upset stomach. So all these things you can help. You can give them medicine on Shabbat. All the things that are any sorach you can definitely do on Shabbat for the child. Chilul Shabbat is the same thing for a child, for anybody else. It all depends on the Kof Nefesh. Okay. Any questions on this?
What about broken bones?
Okay, so the general rule with broken bones is the very big bone, like what I learned was the top bone of the leg and the top bone of the arm could be, if they're broken, could cause internal bleeding and be called Nefesh, as the Nishman of Ram says, but other bones are not that, they're just Sakana Aver. So you call on the phone, get a non-Jew, get an ambulance or a non-Jew, a taxi, and you can go to the ER and they'll deal with it. If they see internal bleeding, if they see the person fainting or something like that, then it could be called Nefesh. But every situation you have to judge on its own. There's so many more examples. So many different things, injections, diabetes. Each case, you really have to know a little bit about the subject medically to know if something is Pekul Nefesh or not. As you want to say?
No, I was saying just to ask your brother,
Rand. Ah, yes.
I had a question about the stitches case.
Yeah, go for it.
We were speaking about how if you only need four to do the stitches, but really on a regular day you would do 10 or whatever. We looked in the Shulchan Aruch that said you can do whatever you want during the week. So does that answer the stitches question?
Yes, he does. Shulchan Aruch allows it. That's Mutar Kon Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah would not. That's what I was saying, difference between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Rabbi Neuberger, when he spoke about this, Rabbi Neuberger said, Ashkenazim would try to avoid this. He said, if somebody, Ashkenazim, was lenient on this, he wouldn't protest, he wouldn't get so upset with them. But yes, this is an important question. So for that, for Shulchan Aruch is Mutar, for Mishnah Berurah, it's more of a question. Okay. Yes.
Tiny story. I really respect the opinion of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He really had tremendous insight. This is the story. When I first started, I used to see a lot of emergencies, and we moved to West Orange. And I was called for a gynecologist who I knew who trusted me. He had little confidence in the other people in the hospital. He said it was Friday night. It was about 6 o'clock. It was the summer. He called me. There was a pregnant lady with some abdominal pain. Not always abdominal pain, it's appendicitis. He said, I want you to see the patient. And he prevailed I should see him because he trusted me. This was Bayonne Hospital. So anyway, as it turned out, I said, you know, it's 6 o'clock. Shabbat's over, 8:45. I think I'll wait. Because if I go there, I'm going to wait around. So I did wait a bit. appendicitis. They did her. She did well. Everything was fine. There was no complications. But I said to myself, it was really, really a dangerous situation to have waited those 3 hours. And then I saw the opinion of Rabbi Feinstein. He had published it, and it was published before, but it was re-brought out. And I said, that's a man of great chokhmah, because it's true. If you weren't allowed to go back, if you could go and you can come back, then you're more willing to go and see. And then, so he really hit it on the head, in my opinion. That's my experience.
Okay. Thank you, Dad. Okay, so Chazak Baruch, this is a very important topic. So many more pieces to this puzzle.
One more thing I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Last year I had floaters. There's something like you can get a detached retina. There are all like conjunctivitis is not an emergency. So people could have that for days. But there are eye emergencies that really are, you do lose your vision if it's a real detached retina, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
So you wouldn't know that. Sometimes you just
see right.
floaters. You don't know what that means.
Right. I wouldn't say for certain, but my understanding is even losing vision, Chaim Avadya doesn't say. Oh, sorry. We're saying before that Chaim Avadya would allow for that to Mechal Shabbat for the eyes. Other poskim, I think, would be more strict on that. If it's just a question of vision, they would have an on-Jew drive to the hospital and stuff like that. All right. Very good topic.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to ask Aaron.
Never.